Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast from Independence Baptist Church. We're really glad that you're able to join us this morning, and we trust that you'll receive a great blessing from today's message. Now, in recent broadcasts, we've been talking about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and this morning, we're going to be dealing with his final moments on the cross. So listen in as Pastor Reynolds talks about the words and the strength of Christ as he dies on the cross at Calvary.
The final victory of Jesus Christ during his own personal ministry is found in the book of John 19 and verse number 30. The Bible says here in this place, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." Jesus Christ in John 19 verse number 30 says only three little words. But look at how much these three words contain. Many things had been completed on the cross of Calvary. It was the end of the personal ministry of Jesus Christ. It was the end of the perfect life he had lived. It was the completion of the work of the plan of salvation. Jesus Christ had lived a perfect life. He had died a perfect death. Everything had been done, and had been done to perfection. And now Jesus Christ says, "It is finished." The end had come. There was no more to be done. And there is nothing more for us to do toward our salvation. All we need to do to be saved is to accept the finished work of Christ on the cross. All we need to do is to trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the remission of our own personal sins. If we think we must do anything except simply trust Christ, we are adding to the work of Jesus Christ. We are actually saying that the work that he did on the cross of Calvary is not enough. Something we think must be added. But there's nothing to be added at all. It is terribly wrong for us to add anything to salvation. All we need to do to be saved is to repent, have another mind toward us, toward the way we live, and trust Jesus Christ. Many people believe that they must do something in order to be saved, but that is wrong. All that God requires is for us to repent of what we are and believe that Jesus Christ has paid for our eternity in hell when he died for us. Salvation, you see, is God's gift to us. It is not what we earn. It is what God gives to us. At this point, it would be good for us also to notice that Christ did not die helpless or out of strength. The death of Christ on the cross was not like the death of any other person, as Christ still had strength left in his body when he gave up his spirit to God. Notice that when a person dies, he dies because all strength has left his body. A person has no other choice except to die. But Christ gave up his life to his Father. The Bible says that into his hands Jesus Christ committed his spirit. To this point, notice John 19, verse number 30. The Bible here says, "It is finished." And then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Jesus Christ did not allow his head to loll helplessly or to drop out of control. You see, Jesus Christ had plenty of strength left. His head had to be upright in order for him to bow it and then gave up the ghost. Read John 19:30 once again. The Bible said here in this place, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." You see, Jesus Christ did not give up the ghost and then bow his head, but he bowed his head and then gave up the ghost. Does this not show that Christ was still in complete control of his entire body? Jesus Christ, you see, did not die powerless as a mere man dies. But Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the living God, died full of power and still in control of his body. This is the Jesus Christ that can save your unworthy soul. He is not a puny, weak Savior, but he is full of strength even as he dies on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ uttered the words, "It is finished," he meant that all of the prophecies concerning his life and death had been fulfilled. Every prophecy. There was not anything left in the whole scriptures that was not fulfilled, that was supposed to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ took care of all of that. He was born of a woman's seed. He was even born of a virgin. That does not happen at all. Jesus Christ was born of the seed of Abraham. He was a literal descendant of King David. Jesus Christ was even named before he was born. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He went down into Egypt. Jesus Christ had a forerunner, one who prepared the way for him. His name was John the Baptist. The Bible says that Jesus Christ even spoke in many parables, expounding the kingdom of God and the word of God so that people could understand. Jesus Christ literally died upon the cross. In this death, Jesus Christ freely and willingly gave his life for the everlasting soul of any person who would simply come to him and ask him for salvation. Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men. That is the reason that he died on the cross of Calvary. Because men did not like him. They didn't like him at all when he preached against them. When he did miracles, they couldn't answer that at all. He shed his last blood for the salvation of sinners. We have much to thank God for in giving us eternal life. It's not something that we work for. Salvation is not something that we ever earned, but it is a gift of God Almighty. All of these prophecies concerning Christ actually came to pass. It was truly finished. When Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," that is exactly what he meant. There's nothing left to do. Salvation was eternally complete. When Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," today, if any person wants to be saved, all they have to do is repent of what they are and turn to Jesus Christ and look unto him, and he can give them eternal life. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save your eternal soul. Don't ever think that in order to be saved, you must join the church. You must be baptized or do anything else to present yourself whole before God. You can't do anything at all. God is the one that gives us eternal life. God is our final judge. He is the one that grants unto us everlasting life. Salvation is never earned by us. Salvation is God's gift to us. You see, we don't earn a gift. Nor do we work for a gift. A gift is what we receive from another who loves us so much that they give us this gift. This is the gift of everlasting life that Jesus Christ freely gives to people that are sinners that come to him and ask him for it. Christ loves us so much, he died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. He is the Eternal One, and He gives us eternal life. He gives us the same kind of life that He has. He gives us eternal life. When the Bible uses the term, "it is finished," it is like the ancient Greeks were, who boasted of being able to say a little, but really meant a lot. "It is finished" is but one word in the original. Yet in that word is wrapped up the gospel of God. In that word is contained the ground of the believer's assurance. In that word is discovered the sum of all joy and the very spirit of all divine consolation. "It is finished" is what Jesus Christ said. "I'm glad that my salvation does not depend upon me. I'm glad that it depends upon Jesus Christ." What's your salvation depending on? What you do? Or is it depending rather upon what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross of Calvary? When Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," it was not a disparaging cry of a helpless martyr. It was not the expression of satisfaction that finally all of my sufferings are now over. It was not the last gasp of a worn-out life. No, rather, it is a declaration on the part of the divine Redeemer for all which come to Him for true salvation. You see, Jesus Christ came down from heaven to the earth, and He accomplished all of His Father's will. That was all that was needed to reveal the full character of God, and it had now been accomplished. All that the law required of sinners was now finished. It had now been performed by Jesus Christ. The full price of our redemption was now paid, and it was paid in full. There was nothing lacking, not a thing. No man can do anything to add anything to their own salvation. Rather, it is God that saves. He saves helpless. He saves undeserving sinners. All we have to do is admit before God what we are and trust in Jesus Christ, and the price has already been paid. Jesus Christ paid it all when He said, "It is finished." Think of this. When Jesus Christ said, "It is finished," Jesus is here stating that the great purpose of God in the history of man was now accomplished. From the very beginning, God's purpose had always been one and indivisible. It had been declared to men in various ways. That purpose of God may be summarized thus: to display His grace and to magnify His Son in the creation of children in His own image and in His own glory. And at the cross, the foundation was laid which was to make this possible and actually come to pass. You see, when Christ said, "It is finished," we might ask, well, what was finished? The fact is, everything was finished. There is nothing left for any man to do to be eternally and gloriously saved, because Jesus Christ has paid it every bit. All of salvation's excellent plan is now finished. There are some things men must do with the body of Christ, but that doesn't mean men have anything to do with the salvation of their own souls. Now, in this regard, let's look at some of the things that are yet to be completed. First of all, think of the prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah speaks of Israel looking on Him whom they have pierced. In the book of Zechariah 12 and verse 10, the Bible states this, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." The piercing on the side of Jesus Christ after Jesus Christ has died on the cross is here being referred to. John 19, verse 31 through 37 speaks of this piercing. The Bible said here in this place, in John 19, 31 through 37, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first, and of the other, which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, for he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they have pierced." In general, you see, the Jews as a nation have still not accepted Christ as the chosen of God. They, as a nation, continually turn their backs upon Christ, who died for them on the cross of Calvary. But many of the Jews do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, or that he's even died for them. But one of these days, they will come out of the rocks and out of the caves where they have been hiding, as stated in Zechariah 12 and verse number 10. And they will see Christ as their only Savior. Psalms 34 and verse number 20 states this about Jesus Christ: "He keepeth all of his bones, not one of them is broken." You see, after Christ has died on the cross of Calvary for our sins, the soldiers are given command to break the legs, to hurry the death of the three who were crucified. The soldiers did break the legs of the two thieves while they were alive on the cross. But when these soldiers looked at Jesus Christ, instead of breaking his legs to hasten his death, they pierced his side to make sure he was already dead. Christ knew beforehand that the command would come to break the legs of those on the cross, and he gave up the ghost before the soldiers were given the command. This shows us the great power of Christ and how nothing happens by accident, but all things happen to fulfill the prophecies concerning how Christ would die. And the prophecy was given to us in the book of Zechariah 12 and verse 10. The Bible states in this place, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look on me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." It'll be too late, you see, for the Jews to change anything at all. But when Jesus Christ comes again, and those Jews are in the caves and in the rocks, and there they are studying the Bible, and Jesus Christ comes when all nations are against the nation of Israel, and when they see Jesus Christ coming, and they look upon him whom they have pierced, they will know this was the one. This is the one that we crucified on the cross of Calvary. And he died for our sins. And they will recognize that, and they will trust in Jesus Christ in that day. Another prophecy about Christ is that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. Isaiah 53 and verse 9 reads this way, "And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth." It is no accident that Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Christ, yet secretly, for fear of the Jews, had an empty burial place, which Christ would not need for very long at all, only 3 days and three nights. This man came to Pilate, and this man begged the body of Christ. Joseph, along with Nicodemus, another disciple of Christ, polluted themselves from the Passover by touching the body of Christ as they removed him from the cross and wound up the body of Christ with the spices as the manner of the Jews were. They buried Christ in the tomb Joseph of Arimathea had prepared for himself. So all of these things were done after Christ said, "It is finished." But this is not the end of the story. Matthew 27, verse 51 states, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." First of all, this veil is between the Holy of Holies and the most holy place in the tabernacle. This veil was rent or separated from the top to the bottom. That's what the scripture says in Matthew 27 and verse 51. The Bible states here, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." This shows us that God actually separated the veil. Man did not do that. Man could not even separate it, even if God allowed him to try. But this veil was rent from the top to the bottom. When this veil was separated, this shows us that the way into the Holy of Holies, where God dwells, was made available to all who want communication with God Almighty. This shows us there is absolutely nothing a person can do to save themselves. Nothing whatsoever. Think of this veil that was between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. How thick was it anyway? Could a man even tear it in two? According to people that I've studied, about this veil, was about 6 inches thick. Now, you heard that right. This veil was about 6 inches thick. It's about a hand's breadth. It was woven of 72 threads. Every one of those were linked together. And every thread had 24 threads within each one of those. Think of this. Have you ever tried to separate or tear a shirt into two pieces? Every year, when I tie up my tomato plants, I use old cloth, ripping the cloth into strips. Now, I think every gardener knows what I mean by tying tomato plants. First, a stake is driven into the ground near the base of the tomato plants. Next, something is used to tie the tomato plants to the stake so the tomatoes will be off the ground and will not rot. I personally use old pieces of cloth to tie the tomato plants to the tomato stakes. But many times, I must first cut the cloth to get a starting place so then I can rip the rest of the cloth into strips. But I am not trying to rip cloth that is 6 inches thick. In the tabernacle, the veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place is at least 6 inches thick. Therefore, it cannot be ripped by any mere man. This ought to show us that salvation cannot be gained by the works of any person. Salvation was achieved for us by God Himself, who by Himself ripped the 6-inch veil from the top to the bottom. Salvation, you see, is given to us by God, because God knows we can never rip the veil by ourselves. God knows that we can never be good enough to go to heaven by ourselves. God knows that all the things that we do upon this earth will never suffice us and grant us salvation. God knows that we need this gift that He freely gives to us. Now, somebody might think that thread is not very strong. And actually, one thread is not very strong. One thread can easily be broken by even a child. But have you ever wound two threads together and tried to break them apart? I think you can still do that if you pop them real good. How about three threads? Can you do that? The scriptures declare in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse number 12, if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Yes, you can break a threefold cord, but it is difficult to do it. How about four threads? Can you break four threads apart? How about ripping a cloth that is 6 inches thick? It's not going to be done, is it? Salvation, you see, cannot be accomplished by any man. It's just not going to be done that way, is it? It's just too much for any person to ever do. You can never live a perfect life. Some people might say, I'm a perfect person, but you're not. You're a sinner. In your heart, you're a sinner. You're away from God. You need the blood of Jesus Christ to cover your sins. Everybody needs that. Why? Because every person is a sinner. Every person must completely rely upon only the strength of Almighty God to save them. He is able. We are not.
I want to thank you, Pastor Reynolds, for your message today. You know, it's so easy to just quickly read over those last few moments of Jesus' death and miss so much. You know, there is so much in those words, it is finished. And the Bible is so specific about Jesus willingly giving up the ghost. And every work of Jesus Christ is so perfect and so amazing. So we want to thank you for that great reminder about Jesus' strength and His purpose while dying on the cross for my sins. Now, for those of you that might want to know more about Jesus Christ or more about Independence Baptist Church, we would recommend that you check out our website at www.independencebaptist.org. From there, you're going to find a link to email Brother Wayne if you have questions for him. You'll also find a lot of different books and articles about the Word of God. And in addition to that, if you happen to have missed any of our prior radio broadcasts, there is an audio section there on the website where you can go in and take a look at all of those prior broadcasts and download them and listen to them from there. We would also encourage you to go to www.sermonaudio.com/IBC and listen to some of the full-length sermons that have been preached at Independence Baptist Church. So each month we try to go in and download all of the Sunday sermons to that website so that if you're not able to attend, that you can go ahead and get a hold of those and listen to them. Now finally, in closing, we would like to invite you to attend services with us today. We'll be meeting at 10 a.m. for Sunday school. We'll have 11 a.m. worship services. Then in the afternoon, we'll have a 3:45 prayer meeting and a 4:30 worship service. Our building is located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri, and we look forward to being able to see you there today. And then, of course, during the middle of the week on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we also have a Bible study that you are more than welcome to attend as well. Well, now as we come down to a close, we do want to thank you for listening, and we trust that you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.